Give me just a second. Aren't you glad he's a way maker? I said, aren't you glad he's a way maker? For somebody, that was a very specific word this morning. That you've exhausted every other resource. And you've come to an end. And it seems that there's no hope and no chance and no way forward. The word of the Lord for you this morning is he's a way maker. And nothing shall be impossible for him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I greet you on this wonderful resurrection morning. Amen. And just in case you didn't know, he's alive. I know it because I spoke to him already this morning. And he spoke to me already this morning. There's a lot of wonderful, beautiful songs that kind of capture the glory and the wonder of resurrection, Easter, if you will. And we sang some of them this morning, and there's so many others that we could just list them. We probably all have our favorite, but indulge me for just a minute. I've got the podium. And I wanna just let you know one of my favorites goes this way. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? Come on. He lives within my heart. Where glory to God. He's alive. Forever alive. And the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession on our behalf. Aren't you glad that he's alive this morning? You could go to where old Buddha was buried. And if there's anything left of those dusty old bones, you would be able to point to him and say, there's Buddha. You could go to where they buried or whatever they did with that old prophet Muhammad. And you could point to that old grave and you could say, yep, there he is. Every religious leader that has ever risen has died and never come back from the grave. Christianity, this gospel message, is the only message in all of the world. There's no other world religion that claims to have a Messiah that died and came alive again. We're the only one. He is alive. He is the way, the truth, the life. If you happen to be here today, just thinking you're here by chance, I want you to know, you're not here by chance. Maybe you came because someone invited you and you wanted to do them a special favor. It really makes no difference to me why you're here today. I want you to understand. God wants you to hear very clearly and without hesitation. I'm trying not to stutter as I say it because I want the message to be as clear as the truth. Jesus is alive, and there's nothing that he cannot do on your behalf. The word of God was very clear this morning. He's a way maker. If he can overcome death, your situation is nothing for him. No problem has ever been faced that's worse than death. And he overcame death itself. Your situation, my situation, is nothing for a death-conquering Savior. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's alive? Well, glory, let's go home. Well, praise his name. Oh, praise his name. Praise his name. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of John. John chapter 20. While you're turning there, I'm going to ask your indulgence, kind of like Gary. We were out of town this past week, and we came back, and it seems like all you guys did while we were gone was make pollen. Everything in the world is covered in pollen right now. Woo! And it's trying to get the better of me. So bear with me. If I have to drink a swig of water or clear my throat, that's okay. We'll get through it, all right? John chapter 20. John chapter 20. You got it? I hear a few pages rustling still. John chapter 20. We want to start with verse number 1. Praise God. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. I don't know if you write in your Bible, and if you don't have an aversion to that, I'd encourage you to underline that passage. The stone had been removed from the entrance. Verse 2, so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. By the way, that other disciple is none other than the one writing this gospel, John. So came running to Peter and John, the one that Jesus loved, in case you weren't sure. And he said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. I would underline that as well. The Lord out of the tomb. A stone that's been rolled away, and the Lord is out of the tomb. And we don't know where they put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. They took off running. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. So John got there first. And John bent over and looked in. Verse 5. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there. Underline that. Strips of linen lying there. But he didn't go in. And then Simon Peter came along behind him, and he went straight into the tomb. And he saw the strips that had been lying there as well, and the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple, John, who had reached the tomb first, he also went inside, and here's the passage that I want us to focus on today. He went inside, he saw, and he believed. He saw, and he believed. That's the challenge for us today. See and believe. You know, some things are nearly impossible to explain, much less understand and comprehend and receive. They had seen him only hours before die. He didn't just faint, Brother Fred. He didn't just pass out from exhaustion. He really died. Really and truly, he died. I mean, they were so convinced that he actually really died that they wrapped him in grave clothes. And they placed him in a tomb. You don't put sick people in tombs. You put dead people in tombs. He really and truly died. They saw it with their own eyes. They experienced it themselves. No one could convince them otherwise. He really and truly died. That's the reason. We look back at this passage and we say, well, of course, why do they think that someone took Jesus' body? He told them he would rise from the dead. But you're looking at it with 2,000 years worth of 2020 vision. They're experiencing it in the moment. He truly died. They watched him die. An agonizing death that took hours and hours and hours to unfold. They watched it. They know he's dead. He's good and dead. So much so that they were fully prepared to go and find a stinking, rotting corpse. And instead, they found a stone that had been removed. Of course, someone had to have taken his body. He was dead. They found an empty grave. Of course, someone had to have taken his body. He was dead after all. They found grave clothes. Of all the indignity, not only would they steal a dead body, but they would even strip him of the only dignity that he had left was grave clothes. And they would strip him of that. What kind of animal? What kind of heartless human being? Someone must have taken his body. It's the only conclusion that makes sense because he was dead. He was really, truly dead. And so they arrive. And all they see, all the women see right to start with is that the stone has been moved. Something's up. We got to go tell someone. They take off running. Peter, John, they come back. They run. They see the same thing. They see the same things that the ladies experienced. A stone that had been rolled away. A tomb that no longer held a dead body. And grave clothes lying there. But it can't be as it seems, because something happened in those moments. In those moments of confusion and unbelief and trying to reconcile what Jesus prophesied with what they're now experiencing, somehow trying to put the pieces of this crazy, chaotic puzzle all together and make sense of it all somehow. John, it says that even though there was a hesitation when he first arrived, he stood back like the ladies and he's just saying, man, I'm not sure what's going on. And what's going on? And Peter, you know, Peter, true to his own personality, he just barrels in. What's going on here? He just runs, oh, what's happening? And then John, well, if Peter can go and doesn't get shocked or whatever, okay, I'll take a venture. So John peeks around and he eventually decides he can go in himself. And then something happens. It said he saw and he believed. In those moments, something transpired. He saw something. He experienced something that took him out of the realm of chaos and disbelief and panic. He saw and he believed. So the question is this. The question is this. What is it that he saw? And it's an important question, not just so that we can understand something historically. It's an important question because understand this. The world today is just as confused. The world today is just as hopeless as those disciples. They had just seen their mentor, their teacher, their Messiah. They'd just seen him die. They were hopeless. They were distraught. They were dejected. And the world today is hopeless and distraught and dejected. And it seems that the only hope for mankind has just died. And when the hope, the only hope, dies, there remains no more hope. So people are searching and they're scrambling. And so it's important for us to know what happened with John, because something happened when he saw it, he believed it. And today we need to expose ourselves. We need to expose our community. We need to challenge and encourage everyone within the sound of our voice. See and believe. See and believe. So what did he see? Well, obviously, just like the lady, the first thing he saw was the stone rolled away. Well, what's the significance of that? Here's the significance. My friends, there remain no more barriers between you and the resurrected Christ. There's nothing to hinder him from coming to you, and nothing to hinder you from going to him. You see, the stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could walk out. The stone was rolled away so John could walk in and see he is not here. He's risen, just as he said. There are no more barriers, but you don't know what I've done. It's not a barrier, but you don't know how sinful I've been. It's not a barrier. It doesn't keep you from going to him. It doesn't keep him from running to you. There are no more barriers. I can only imagine that in that moment when John saw that stone rolled away, I don't know, but I can just imagine that it reminded John of something that had happened just hours previous. When Jesus was still on the cross, and in those final moments of his life, he said, "It is finished." And the scripture says when he uttered those words, gave up the ghost, died, the Bible says in that moment, all the way across town in Jerusalem, the curtain, the veil that separated mankind from a holy God, in that moment when Jesus said, "It is finished," when his own body was torn, symbolically the finger of God reached and touched and tore that curtain from top to bottom, the Bible says. And now for generations, a holy God could never be approached by a sinful man. And a sinful man could never go into the presence of a holy God. And now in one single moment when Jesus died, the way was opened. And I have every idea that that was still ringing in the mind of John when he saw that stone rolled away. Oh, the curtain has been torn. The stone has been rolled away. There's nothing to keep him from me and me from him. The Romans says it this way: there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Not principalities or powers or sickness or even death itself. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But you just don't know my story. I don't know your story, but I know mine. And yours may be different than mine, but it's no worse, I'll guarantee. A sinner's a sinner. Separation from God is separation from God. My friend, there's nothing that you've ever done. Hear me. There's nothing that you've ever done. There's no stone so large. There's no curtain so thick. There's no barrier so great that he didn't already overcome it with his very own resurrection. So what did John see that caused him to believe? In that moment, he realized every single barrier that has ever existed or will ever exist between me and God has been removed. He's alive. Every barrier taken away. Hallelujah. John saw something else in those moments. The scripture plainly says he saw the stone rolled away, but it also says that the Lord was out of the tomb. Now, if we're not careful, we can make this a cliche. I mean, I love these banners, by the way. Don't you? Those are so cool. But if we're not careful, this can become a slogan. He is risen. He's alive. It can become a slogan that, because of overuse, if we're not careful, it can lose its impact. Every time we say, "He is risen," it ought to be a fist in your stomach. It ought to be a wake-up call. It ought not ever be so cliche that it loses its impact. Every time we say, "He's alive, he's alive, he's alive," that means he didn't used to be, but now he is. He's alive, he's alive. The tomb is empty. You see, it's vital to know he didn't just have his body stolen away. He didn't just faint and then decide to get up in the middle of the night and walk away. You know, there are some theories out there that say that. Well, Jesus didn't really die. He just fainted. He just passed out. And sometime over the next several days, he kind of came to himself, whoa, good gracious, what happened to me? And he stumbled out. Well, do we even need to discuss that? I mean, here's a man that was so badly beaten that he passes out for days. And he's got the strength to roll a stone away and defeat a whole squadron of Roman soldiers. Hello. No. The only explanation is that he was dead and now he's not. I mean, after all, he said it this way. I am the resurrection and the life. Why should it surprise us that the one who named himself the resurrection is resurrected? It's vital that we get this. I'm spending a little more time here than I normally would because I don't want us to get caught up in the cliche of he is risen. I don't want us to get caught up in the commonality of saying he's alive. I want us to understand if he did not come back to life, everything he said and everything he did is a lie. If he didn't come back to life after dying a brutal death, he's just one of thousands of dead Jews. Forgive me, I don't mean to sound so callous, and I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but you do understand that Jesus was not the only person ever crucified, right? It was the method of torture and execution by the Romans. They executed thousands by this methodology. But none of them had ever come back from the dead until now. And so if he's still in the grave, he's just like every other dead Jew before and after him. If he didn't come back from the grave, every prophecy that he gave is false. If he didn't come back from the grave, my life is a sham and so is yours. If he didn't come back from the grave, if he's not truly alive after truly being dead, everything that he said is a huge smokescreen. If you can't believe him on this, you can't believe him on anything. If he didn't come back from the dead, I'm still hopeless. If he didn't come back from the dead, you are still in your trespasses and sin. If he didn't come back from the dead, we are without hope and no chance if he didn't come back from the dead. But John saw. Not only was there a barrier that had been removed, he saw that the grave itself was empty. What does that indicate? It indicates that life is greater than death. You see, death in itself is not an entity. Death is the absence of life. Just like darkness is truly not a reality, darkness is the absence of light. Death is the absence of life. So there's not this huge cosmic battle between death and life, and I wonder which one's going to win. Life wins every time. And so when life came back into that dead body, death had no choice but to surrender its grip, to loose its hold, for life had come again. Death has no place when life is there. Well, what does that mean for me? What it means for you is quite simple, my friend. Whether you know it or not, before you come to Christ, hopefully we're all Christians and believers here today, but I got a feeling we're not. So hear me out. Put down whatever you're doing and listen, please. What it means to you quite simply is this. Before you came to Christ, you were dead in your trespasses and sin. You were hopeless and helpless. No way to get to God. Completely and utterly dependent. You could observe religious activity from now until the rest of your life, and you'll be no closer to God than you are in your lostness. And into the midst of the death that is your life came Jesus. And took on your place. You see, you and I, we're the ones that belonged on that cross. Make no mistake about it. He did nothing. He was innocent. You're guilty. I'm guilty. We're the ones that deserve the death. He died in your place. And the beautiful thing is that when he then comes alive, just as he died my death, he now provides my life. The life that I now live in the flesh, Paul said, I is no longer I that live, but the life I live by the power of the Son of God who lives in me. It's in him I live and move and have my being. And so all of the punishment that was due to me was placed on him. Therefore, all of the blessing that is given to him, I too can enjoy because I'm in Christ. That's the way it works, my friend. That's the way it works. And so it's significant that he saw an empty tomb, not just so that we can say, oh, yeah, he's alive. Not just that, but because if he didn't die, it's all a sham. But because he did die and did rise from the dead, it's true, it's real, it's genuine. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. He's truly alive. And because he lives, I too shall live. Not only did Jesus say, I am the resurrection and the life, he said, he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whoo! If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken, it will bring to life your mortal body. Ah, that's the way it works, my friend. His death on my behalf. His life on my behalf. Hallelujah. John saw and believed. The final thing that this John passage tells us that he saw grave clothes. They had been left behind. Last year, we talked specifically about those grave clothes and what they indicate. Rather than going in that same direction, I want to take a look at it on a more fundamental, more elementary level this year, if you will. He saw those grave clothes lying there. Fundamentally, here's what that signifies. Just like dead people don't need a tomb. I'm sorry, just like alive people don't need a tomb. People who are alive don't need grave clothes either. Think back. Just a little earlier in the ministry of Jesus, the Bible says that his friend, someone that he loved dearly, his friend Lazarus had died. And Jesus delayed on purpose. He could have gotten there a little earlier and saved the day. But see, for Jesus, I think he did it for the observers, but he also did it because for him, sickness and death are equally conquerable by him. It's not like he has to work harder to raise the dead than he does to heal the sick. It's all the same to him. All power is given to him. And so for him, whether they're sick or whether they're dead makes no difference. And so he just shows up when he shows up. And they're all sad. No, if you just would have been here, Lazarus could be alive still. And Jesus is saying, "You, how long? You're just full of unbelief." And the Bible says Jesus wept. And some people say, oh, isn't that wonderful? He cared so much for Lazarus. He's crying because he died. Nonsense. He's crying because of the unbelief on display. How long do I have to tell you? How many miracles do I have to perform in front of you before you realize there's absolutely nothing impossible for me? But he's dead this time. So? Who cares? And so he speaks out, Lazarus, come forth. Some people say, I don't know if this is true or not, but some people say he had to specifically say the name Lazarus. Otherwise, the whole graveyard would have come forward. Could you imagine that? Come forth. Ah, the whole graveyard. Ah, I don't know. Lazarus, come forth. And so Lazarus gets up. What's the first thing he says? Come on. Lazarus is alive after just being dead. What's the first thing he says? Loose him. Take his grave clothes off of him. People who are alive don't need grave clothes. Now we see a similar situation. When Jesus comes alive. The first thing he does is shed his grave clothes. People who are alive don't need the garments of the dead. So what's the significance of that for me? Your old life, listen, my friend, your old life can be left behind. Whew. The garments of death and sin, when the newness of life comes into you, you can lay them aside. You don't have to be bothered by those habits anymore. You don't have to be tripped up by those problems anymore. That attitude, that temper, that unbelief, that anger. Some of you, oh, well, I'm angry. I'm angry because my daddy was angry. Nonsense. You're angry because you need to get your life right with God. Well, you know, I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholism runs in my family. I understand that there can be such a thing as learned behaviors. And I understand sometimes we mimic what we see. But the Bible says if any man, come on, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And old things have passed away and all things have become new. I'm telling you, when the life of Christ comes into you, you can lay aside the grave clothes. Dead people wear grave clothes. People who are alive put on a new garment, a garment of praise, instead of the spirit of heaviness. So when John saw those grave clothes, not only did it indicate that Jesus was alive, it indicated that my past can be left in the past. That the old can be exchanged for the new. That which held me tightly in death's grip has no choice but to let go when the life of Christ comes into me. And John saw it. And the Bible says he saw and believed. Let me just tell you this. The grave clothes that you lay aside might be exactly what somebody else needs to see in order to believe. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it on this side this time. The grave clothes that you lay aside when Christ is alive in you might just be the testimony that somebody else needs to see in order to believe. I've heard it all of my life, but I've never seen it on display. I think it's time that the redeemed of the Lord put it on display. I used to be this. I used to talk that way. I used to be filled with unbelief and doubt. I used to get angry, but not anymore. Jesus has come alive in me. And the old grave clothes, I don't need them anymore. I can walk away from my past. I can walk away from what used to bind and hold me in death's grip. And it just might be that somebody is waiting to see your discarded grave clothes on display before they believe. John saw and he believed. He saw that there were no more barriers between him and the resurrected Savior. My friend, I don't care what you've done. Hear me. I don't care what you've done. It's not greater than death itself. And Christ overcame death. And he removed the stone so that you could see it for yourself. See it! He's alive. Every time the hungry are fed, Jesus is alive. Every time someone hears the gospel message and their heart rejoices, Jesus is alive. Every time the people of God come together in corporate worship and raise our hands and sing unto him, the Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. Every time we do that, he's alive. See it and believe it. There's no more barriers. No more barriers. John saw that the stone had been rolled away. He also saw that that grave was empty. Everything Jesus ever said about himself is true. If he can predict this one, the hardest one, if he can predict this one and get it right, you can believe him on everything else. When he tells you he can set you free, you can believe it. When he tells you you can exchange your old life for a new life, you can believe it. You can take it to the bank. When he tells you there's nothing impossible for him, you can believe it, my friend. When he tells you he's a way maker, you can believe it. Yeah, well, it all sounds good. And it sounds great in theory when you preach it from a pulpit on an Easter Sunday morning. But I got to go back and live it in my world. That's okay. Because guess what? If you need a reminder, I can show you where I left my grave clothes. It's real. It's real. It's true. I can point to you and say, what I used to be, by God's grace, I no longer am the way I used to think. By his resurrection power, I don't think that way anymore. My anger, my frustrations, my doubt. Listen, don't get me wrong. There's always the temptation to go back and try them on again. I wonder if these things still fit. They don't fit you anymore. You've grown. You've outgrown them. And by the way, they still stink. They still smell like the death they had on them when you laid them aside. And you can't Febreze it away. There's always that tip. I wonder if this still fits. And we always remember it a little more fondly than it really was. I mean, there's a reason we laid it aside. And when we get further down the road, we think, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe that wasn't too bad after all. I think I'll go back and try that on again. Whoo! That reeks. If you need a reminder in the real world, find somebody who can show you their grave clothes. I laid them aside. And like the old song says, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I've come too far. If you think you're going to tell me he's not real, if you think you're going to somehow convince me that this resurrection thing is all a hoax, you've come too late for that. I know it. I know it. Well, how do you know? How do you know? I know it. I know it in my knower. You see, he's alive in me. And you know what? I see him in you as well. He's alive in you. Every time we open that food bank, I see him. Every time we serve meals on Wednesday night, I see him. When we gather in here for prayer, I see him. When we take him to the street, I see him. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Here's your challenge. You ready? Here's your challenge. See and believe. See. And believe. I'm just going to be honest. There's some of you that have been seeing all of your life. People have been living consistently in front of you all of your life. They've showed you their grave clothes time and time and time again. There's some that have seen and have not yet believed. May I say that that time is quickly coming to an end. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Somebody, some praying parent needs to agree with me. In Jesus' name, every wayward child is going to see and believe. In Jesus' name, every wayward spouse is going to see and believe. In Jesus' name, we're going to rise up in the power that God intended for us to in this community, and this community is going to see and believe in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. There's the challenge. See And don't walk away just having seen it and say, well, that's a cool story, and then walk away and back to your same mess again. No, see and believe. Let's stand together. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're alive. Thank you, Lord, that you're alive. You're a risen Savior. Thank you, Lord, that there's nothing that can prevent us from coming to you. And no barrier is so great that you can't come to us. Thank you, Lord, that all barriers have been removed. We can approach the throne of grace and find help in this time of need without hindrance. Thank you that you're a way maker. Thank you, Lord, that you've risen from the dead, that you really are alive. This isn't just a mistake. It's not just some falsehood that we believe, but you're alive, truly alive, and you live to make intercession for us. Thank you that you're a living Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you quicken us out of our own deathful situations, and you quicken us into new life. Thank you, Lord. Lord, today within the sound of my voice, certainly there are many who've known you for years, and we rejoice in this reminder of just how good you are and just how alive you are and just how powerful you are in our behalf. And so we rejoice today. Lord, there are some others who are just uncertain. I pray for those who are struggling in their faith today, Lord, that they would recognize that you indeed are a way maker. And then, Lord, there's some here today that you know it and they know it. They don't know you today. They're still wearing grave clothes. Today, Lord, by your Spirit, we pray that you would quicken them to newness of life. May they see and believe today. May they lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. May they walk in newness of life from this day forward. Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in this attitude of prayer, I'm going to ask right now. There's no better time for you to make it right with God if you're here today. Listen, friend, don't think I'm not talking to you. If you think that, I'm probably talking directly to you. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you've never received him, or maybe you received him at one point and for some reason you've walked away from him. You've gone back to those grave clothes. Can I tell you, they don't fit you anymore. Can I tell you, they still stink. You're ready to lay them aside, but you don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand the struggle that lies ahead of me if I make that decision for Christ. Can I tell you, that struggle lies ahead of you, and the only way you're going to make it through is with Christ. You're going to go through that problem one way or another, and Jesus will hold your hand right in the middle of it if you're here today. Listen, my friend, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, yes, I'm pleading with you, and I don't apologize for it. I'm pleading with you. See and believe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. Nobody's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you, I promise you. But if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I want you to just slip up a hand. Yeah, that's me, preacher. Pray for me. I don't know Jesus. There's a hand. Yes, thank you. There's some more. I know there's some more. You're here today and you don't know Jesus. Go ahead, put it up. Be bold. Be a man. Be a woman. Come on, put it up. I need Jesus. I know I need Jesus. Can't wait for that preacher to quit preaching. I'm uncomfortable in here. Can I tell you? That's the Holy Spirit. He's knocking at your door. God forbid. I hope you have 100 more chances, but you may not have one more. Today might be the day. Slip up a hand. I need Jesus today. I need Jesus. I want this risen Savior to come alive in me. Come on. Slip up your hand. I'm not going to delay much longer. Let's pray together. Whether you raised your hand or whether you intended to raise your hand. Let's pray together. It won't hurt any of us to rededicate our lives to the Lord. Can we do that together today? Let's pray this. If you pray this and believe it with your heart, the Bible says if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. Let's do that together today. Can we do that? Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I know that I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. I thank you that you're alive and you're alive for me. Come into my life. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me your child. I want to live for you forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Jesus is alive. He's still in the saving business, my friend. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in these final moments. That's the most important business we can take care of today. But I understand also there was a very specific word earlier that somebody needs to hear it again. Jesus is a way maker. In these closing moments, we're going to dismiss here in just a few moments because I understand we have activity. I get all of that. But what I don't want is I don't want someone to leave and say, man, I just wish they would have given an opportunity for me to receive prayer. Is that all right if we do that? I mean, we've got a roast waiting for us at home, but that roast will be there when we get home. Can we just take just a moment? If you're here today and you know that word was specifically for you, you thought you had run out of options. You had no idea how God was going to bring you through this thing. This is a last-ditch effort for you trying to find an answer. If that's you and you'd like to receive special prayer, either slip up a hand or all the better, come down and let us gather and pray with you and believe God on your behalf. Anybody? Yeah, that was me. I've reached an end. Come on down. You want to come down and let us pray with you? Hey, Brother Frank, can you come over here and help me out? Anybody else? That was me. Yeah. Come on, sis. He's a way maker. Hear me. He's a way maker. Come on, ladies. Help me out here. Come on. Yeah, come on, Esther. Come on, ladies. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm at the end of my rope. I need God to come through for me. He's a way maker, my friend. Come on, that's it, ladies. Pray her through. Come on. Praise God. Anybody else? All right, let's stretch our hands this way and believe God. Come on, sis. Thank you. God, come on, lady. I really need some help on this one. Come on now. Come on, we're going to lay some grave clothes aside. Come on, let's push in here. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Hey, I think he might not be finished yet. What y'all think? I think he might have a work to do. Come on. Praise his name. Come on, help me pray right here. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. These are still worshiping and praying, and that's good. We thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you feel like you need to go ahead and slip out, you feel free to do that. If you want to stay and rejoice with us, you can do that as well. God bless you. Have a wonderful resurrection day. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Amen. Praise the Lord.